like sea billows roll. Have I hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul? Hiding in thee, hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee.
I know many of you can enter into that. How oft in the conflict, when pressed by the foe, I've fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. Like the Psalms, help me, Lord. My enemies are many and lively. How often when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul. Good Tim. Luke chapter 8. Let's go over there. Luke chapter 8. A few verses. Let's just read a few verses. And I'm reading these words. And, you know, one word of our Lord, one line, one verse could comprise many sermons. So much there. And I see these things that the Lord said, and whatever he said is vital. Whatever he said. And I think there's a whole lot more here than I know. And so my father used to say, let's camp here a while. Read with me verses 15 through 18, because it goes together. The 15th verse is the last part of his parable. Luke 8:15, that fell the seed on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. And then there's that little paragraph sign. You see that? It means a pause. It means maybe some time went by. Our Lord was a man, really, of few words. You know that? That's what the Scripture says. Spareth his words, but what he had to say needed to be heard. And I'm quite certain when he spoke, he would pause. Not just for effect, but consider what I just said. So then he says, verse 60, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest or revealed, neither anything hid that shall not be known. Come abroad, nothing. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Does that strike you? It did me. The Lord Jesus Christ just spoke the parable of the sower, which was about the word of God being preached and declared. And he made it plain that all here, there are different types of ground, but they all hear it. It all falls on all. But three out of four were false. That's something. Three out of four hearers were false. They seemed to be this way, but they weren't.
Amen. That's striking, isn't it? Striking. You remember in verse 8, after he preached the parable, and then in private he declared it or made it known to his disciples. But remember, we said that it didn't seem like anybody asked him, what does this mean? Except his disciples. They took him, Lord, we don't understand. How can we unless you show it? Would you tell us? Well, that's a true disciple, isn't it? But after he declared that, the Lord cried in verse 8. He cried out. You read with me Hebrews 12. That he, his voice like a trumpet. Try to imagine the Lord saying that. He that hath ears to hear. And I wouldn't dare try to imitate that. It should have shook people to their core, shouldn't it? Huh? It should have just struck fear. Well, it did the disciples. It did Simon Peter and Matthew and John and James. It did. And they said, Lord, tell us then. Tell us. We want to know. Does it strike you? Are you not amazed with me as you read and we've been going through Revelation? And he that hath ears. Are you not amazed? I'm just amazed how all this goes together. I didn't plan it this way. I didn't sit down a few months ago and say, I'm going to make this all come together right at the same time. Well, the Lord did. I believe the Lord's digging our ears. I hope He is. He that hath ears, the Lord in Revelation, we've been looking in Revelation 2 and now in 3 coming up. He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith to who? To who? Churches. That's what Hebrews 12 said. You're going to hear this here. You're not hearing it out there. Are you? Oh, so blessed. City of refuge. City of refuge where Christ is. He that ears. I've been reading and studying scripture after scripture after scripture. The prophets Moses, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. We almost read from Jeremiah. I wanted to read Jeremiah. I wanted to read Deuteronomy 32. I wanted to read Ezekiel 33. I wanted to read so many. They all say the same thing. They all say, here. Tell the people, the Lord says, tell the people, hear the word. Listen, give ear, O earth, heaven and earth. My word's going to drop like rain. Listen now. Hear the word. Hebrews, the whole book of Hebrews. It begins that way, telling us who Jesus Christ is. Not just a man, it's just God. Equal with the Father, God to come to earth. He said, oh, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest in any times He let these slip. He said in Hebrews 4, those people in the Old Testament, they heard the word. They heard the gospel just like us, but it didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith. Oh, He says, today, all the way through Hebrews, today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation. Didn't we just look in 1 John? Not being overcome by the world. Who's saying all this? Who's telling us this? Me? No. Are you not struck with how the Lord is bringing us all to our remembrance and at the same time? Could He be near? Yes, He is. Yes, He is. That's why this word is always urgent. If a preacher doesn't preach with urgency, like it's the last message you'll ever hear, He's not God's preacher. We ought to give the more earnest heed. Our Lord said that. He that hath ears, everybody in here has ears. Some are bigger than others. Some of you ought to be able to really hear. You got big ears. But you know what our problem is? We're hard of hearing. I'm hard of hearing. You know that. Literally, physically. You are too, Stephen. Mother, you are too. She was in denial the longest time. But brethren, every one of us, this is our problem. Did you read the article written by somebody there, the second article by reading and hearing the word and memorizing? You know how much trouble we get into and how much fear and worry and doubts and this and that we get up because we don't hear what he says. We forget. And then we get, huh?
The writer of that article, pretty poor fellow, but the article's a good one. Oh, the Lord is soon to speak out loud. He hasn't spoken out loud since Christ was on this earth. And we just read in Hebrews. And that ought to shake us to the core. Or at least find out that we can't be shaken. Once more, that trump's going to sound. I'm not trying to scare anybody. That won't convince anybody. But our Lord did say, He did say that, didn't He? The top of His lungs, from the bottom of His heart. He that hath ears, let him hear. Now, here in verse 15, again, and the Lord spoke many parables. The first parable, what was the first parable? This one, the sower. So what He's saying, sister, is that everything is based on this here in the Word. It's all from the Word. The most important thing of all is that you hear the preaching of God's Word. Isn't that true? That's what He is telling us. The very first parable is repeated three times. He's telling us you must hear the Word preached. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How shall they hear it without a preacher? That's what it said. I don't like that. I'm not born of God. Luke 8, he says, and verse 15, a good ground is an honest and a good heart. And we looked at that, hearts, out of the heart. It's not the head. We're not educated in the kingdom of God. You're born into supernatural, miraculous, power of God. Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing and persuasive or high-sounding, convincing words of man's reason and man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit. What's that? Christ, men pray. And of power. What's the power? It's not man's reasoning power. It's God's Word. Live! How does God make somebody live? Live! Then ask them anything. Live! Let there be light! And there is light. Power. Demonstration of the Spirit of God. As Paul said, so we preach Christ. We preach, we preach, we preach. And our Lord said, and out of the heart are the issues of life. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. Romans said. A broken and a contrite heart. What breaks the heart? The Word of God. He said, is not my Word a fire and a hammer? Nothing will break, nothing can break the heart but the Word of God. And that by the Spirit of God, through the preaching of the Word. Nothing. We're not convinced into the kingdom. We're convicted. We're broken. Broken. Broken in a contrite heart. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 with me. Hebrews chapter 4. I know we're going over this again, but repetition's good, especially if we didn't hear it the first time. Hebrews 4. Look at this. And this, Paul told young Timothy, preach the word, Timothy. Verse 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and the marrow, separates, he said, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts of the Word. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in His sight. The Word. All things are naked, exposed, opened under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do that we will stand before. Must we shall. And the books will be open. Alright, go back to our text. So, and I said, quoted Jeremiah 23:29, my word is a fire and a hammer. Wake up the heart. Hard heart. Son of God, called the Son of Man, the Son of Righteousness, consuming fire, word made flesh, He spoke here. He spoke here. And He says, those that hear the word, verse 15, those that hear it, those that keep it, lay hold of it, sell everything to buy it, to have it, and bring forth fruit. Our Lord said, fruit, love, love God, love His word, it'll be known. It'll be known. Love Christ, love His worship, love His kingdom, love His family more than anybody or anything. It's going to be known. It's going to be known. Joy, those that really rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, no confidence in the flesh, it shall be known. Shall be known. Peace, fruit, peace, Christ is their peace. And blessed peacemakers. Do they receive the word with patience? You see that? With patience. Verse 15. With patience. That word is throughout this Bible. We read it in 1 Peter. He says, the trial of your faith worketh patience. 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 Submitting to God's will. That whatever happens to a child of God, whatever happened, no matter how evil it may seem, how bad it may seem, you know what the child of God says? It was God's will. God did it. That's what they say. They receive it with patience. And I don't understand, they say. We don't understand. But we will. And we're just going to rest in God's will. The world said, I don't like it. You know, God, why would God let us? I don't know, but He did. And I've got peace right there. With patience. And patience here, too, is the Lord's talking about those that are waiting on Him. They're waiting on the Lord. What do you wait for? That's what David asked. Now, my soul, what waiteth I for? Are you waiting for your ship to come in, brethren?
God's people are in the ship right now.
It came in 2,000 years ago. And we're waiting on our ship, right, to land on that other ship. All right, then there's a pause. A pause. Let all this sink in, all right? Let it sink in. May the Lord dig our ears. Now, verse 16. You may have read this with me and think, what does this have to do with what He just said? Did you? What does this have to do with what He just said? All right, the Word of God is a great revealer. The Word of God is Christ, the person. All things naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Christ right now, seated on the throne. And the Lord knows them they're here. And He sends His Word, His truth. And it's a great revealer of the hearts. The thoughts and intents of the heart. It separates, divides those that are just physically, naturally, joined at birth. It's separate. Are you understanding? Yeah, you are. I see it in recognition in your hand. This word. You just looked at it. In 1 John. It all goes together. This candle. Alright, He says in verse 16. No man, when he lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. A candle. The candle, He said, is not lit to be hidden, but seen. Again, how providential
How prophetic. Listen to me, brethren. What have we been talking about in Revelation? The seven candlesticks. Are you amazed? The Lord, we've been talking about the church who is the seven candlesticks. All right, the Lord brings this up again here to our understanding. The candle, what is the candle here that is lit? It's the Word of God, the truth, the gospel, the light, Christ the light. Is it not? David said, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Well, light shone in this dark world. What was it? Who? Christ. No man knoweth God but through Christ. He is the light. The word, light. This is condemnation. Light is coming into the world, but men what? Love darkness rather than light. But he that is born of God loveth the light. John 3, cometh to the light. Come to the light. Candles. He cometh to the light. Why are you coming to the light? Why are you coming to hear the word of God this morning? Candle, right? The candle is the light. In thy light we see light. God is light. No man knoweth God, Christ said, except the Son. The Father. He is whom the Son will be. We don't know God except through Christ. Right? Christ said, here's the light. I am the way, the truth, didn't it? The life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Boy, right there will separate the truth and the falsehood. Christ is made unto his people wisdom. There is no wisdom outside of Jesus Christ. I don't care what anybody in this world says. Right? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? What's wisdom? Christ. If a man doesn't know Christ, believe Christ, follow Christ, Christ is his life, he's a fool. Wisdom, righteousness. There is no righteousness outside of Christ. Sanctification. What sets apart? Here it is, Brother Stephen. What sets apart God's people? Sanctification means sets apart. Set apart. What separates God's people from this world? What is it? What they do? How they look? Huh? What they don't do? It's Christ. It's the blood on the door. Christ, God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. They're in the house where the blood is. Don't get out of the house. Because what separates you in the wrath of God is the blood. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and what? Redemption. We have no redeeming quality. No human beings have any redeeming quality. Why did God redeem anybody? Not for your sakes, he said, but for my holy name's sake.
That's right.
And he sent the Redeemer. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? Christ is the light. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the light. Why is it called a candle? Why? Well, brother, he's the Son of righteousness, isn't he? Son. Why? How can you compare Christ to a candle? Because we see through a glass dimly. I preach in part. I know in part. Prophesy in part, don't we? We just know a little bit. But some, we can't look on him as he is. We can't see him as he is. I can't preach him as he is. Oh, someday we're going to see him. We're going to look straight into the sun. See him as he is. Whose countenance shineth as the sun. But right now we live by candlelight. But thankful for the light that I have, aren't you? Candle. All right, who lit this candle? Who lit this candle? The Holy Spirit of God. That's it. No man lighteth a candle and covereth it with a vessel. Putteth it under a bed. He sets it on a candlestick.
Are you with me now? You need to listen to this. The man who lighteth this candle is the Spirit of God. Spirit of God, who opens blind eyes and deaf ears through the preaching of the truth, the gospel of Christ. There's nothing new. 2 Corinthians 4 says, God who caused the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our heart. Who's that talking about? The Spirit of God. To give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And Paul said in that same chapter, whom I preach to the Corinthian church. That's where he's preaching. Who's he writing to? 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul said, I'm a minister of the gospel. I preach, and he said, and I abound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, to save you, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Which gospel, he said, I preach in the church. Is that what it says?
Amen.
Those of you who know the word. All right. He lit this candle and set it where? Where did he set it? A candlestick. Are you with me? What's the candlestick? It's church. I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. The church. That's where he puts his gospel. His Christ. Let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Plain as a nose on your face. I set this light, this candle, this gospel of Christ on a candlestick. All right, this is not a thing to be hid. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. All people, all manner of men. Every nation, kindred, and tongue under heaven. I'll draw them. He sets them on a, sets this light of the glory of the gospel of Christ. Look at Ephesians 3 with me. Ephesians 3. Go over there real quickly. Real quickly. I gotta hurry. Ephesians 3. Here's what it says. And you notice all these, where are these epistles written to? Huh? Churches. Huh? Is there a book in here that's not written? It's to the churches. Oh, bless God for his fold. That one fold and one shepherd that he speaks of is the church of God. Bless God. We just read it in Hebrews 12. We're not come to a mountain. We come to a church where Christ is. Where Christ is free. That's where he's promised to be. David said, thy way is in the sanctuary. That's what he said. The candlestick, the church. Ephesians 3, verse 6. He says the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. See, they're going to hear the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, meaning I didn't choose to do this, didn't go to school to do it, God called me. Unto me, I'm less than the least of the saints. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? Preach Christ, determined not to know anything among you. Not preach anything but Christ in Christ. To make all see, verse 9, here it is, the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now, under the principalities of power, even angels are going to learn. Angels are going to see in heavenly places what might be known by the church. The wisdom of God. Did you read that? Brother, preacher, you're magnifying the church. No, I'm not. I'm not holding up the body and not the head. I'm holding up the head. But our Lord has sanctified his church by his word. And he holds it up and cherishes it and nourishes it. He said, this is where the candles, this is where the light is going to be seen. The candlestick. Not hidden. All right, go back to our text. Now, our Lord is saying that whoever hides this truth, it's not a candlestick. Right? Whoever keeps this hidden. Paul said to Timothy, therefore, seeing we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Hold fast the form of sound words. Whatever God's word says, we say it loud and clear for all to hear. Preach the word, Timothy. In season, out of season. Time will come, they won't endure it. Preach it loud and clear so that all may hear it. Don't hide it. I've heard men say things like this. Southern Baptists that claim to believe God's word say things like this. The doctrine of election says family doctrine. Meaning, we'll keep that hidden. Just keep that among ourselves. Don't go out there and preach it to everybody. That's a false religion. That's not the candlestick of God. That's not the church of God. That's what our Lord said. He said it on a candlestick. That what? Was it say that they that enter in, where are they going to come to hear it? That they that enter in may see the light. What's the purpose of the church? The pillar and the ground of the truth. What's a pillar do? Hold something up. That's all the church does. And if it's a place that you go in and you hear nothing but music and entertainment, and you know, on Mother's Day you hear about Mother, and Father's Day you hear about Father, and on whatever, this and that and the other, it's not Christ's church. That's not the candlestick. That's an abomination to God. And he says, nothing secret, verse 17. It won't be manifest. Neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Now, this is both a fearful but wonderful and comforting passage of Scripture. And I'll tell you why. This is for sinners who hear it and fear. Does that make you a little bit afraid? Is there anything in your past or present that you don't want known? There's not a person in here. Would you want your thoughts just this morning sitting in this room to be on a screen for everybody to see it? What about your past? Any skeletons? Anything hidden? Our Lord says it's all coming out. And nothing hidden. He said, whatever's spoken in darkness is going to be told out now. Everybody in Revelation says it's going to be gathered before him, all the books open, and a man's going to give an account for every single word, idle word. Can you imagine? How does that make you feel? All right, now here's the difference between Esau and Jacob. Here's the difference between a child of God and a profane man. No child of God wants their sin exposed. But more than anything, they grieve over their sins, not the punishment of them. More than anything, they grieve over the reproach that their sins brought about. More than anything, they want done with their sin, not just being punished for. Esau didn't want to be punished for. Esau didn't like being caught. He wanted to continue. But God's people say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this? I want delivered from this. I want it out of me. I want cleansed from it. No, I don't want my sin exposed. I don't want anybody to know it. Bring great reproach upon my God and my family and myself and all that. And I don't want it exposed. I want it covered. So what did God's people do? Who hate the sin, who hate the sin in them, who hate what they did, hate the results of it. What do? They run to Christ to hide them. We just sang those songs. Hide me. Oh, rock of ages, hide me. You know what the Lord said? Everyone that flees to me for refuge, I'll hide them. I'll cover them. While everybody else's sins, those who just get caught and sorry for getting caught, it's all going to be exposed. Christ said, the sins of Israel, covered.
never be found. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
All in Christ. Mercifully called, chosen in Christ, are hidden or covered like those in the ark, like those in the houses in Egypt, covered under the blood.
All right, now look at this. This is verse 18. Now it's going to be known who really needs Christ as their covering, as their sin atonement, as their righteousness, as their all, and those who just looking for a fire escape. And those who do, who really need Christ, and Christ is their all, and that church is a bunch of sinners covered by the blood. You know what they're preaching? You know, they're not hiding this. They're shouting it. Salvation of the Lord. Everywhere they go, to everyone they see, to everyone they hear, huh? And Christ is their life. And they don't just come in on Sunday and play the part and they're leaving. That's going to be known. It's going to be known. Christ really is their life. And so he says in verse 18, look at how he ends this the way he began. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Brethren, I believe I've heard. I believe I've heard his voice. Do you? Huh? I really do. Bless God, I think I have. I believe I have this faith. I believe I do. It's not much, but I believe I have it. I believe. Oh, Lord, help my unbelief. Don't you? I do love this truth. I believe I do because he first loved me. I do. I do see my need of Christ. I do. We say that's going to grow. I'm going to give you more. I'm going to keep giving you more. You want more? You know, I preached a message this has happened many times. Preached a message. And I didn't think I had any liberty, but one of the ladies came up and said, would you preach that next Sunday? That same message. Same message? Yeah, the exact same message. One lady said, preach that at my funeral. That's no funeral message. Yes, it is. Same thing. Daddy hath. Keep giving it. Keep giving it. Far from the love, leaving the love, far from growing cold, that it will grow more and more. He said, well, keep giving it to you. 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 Open your mouth wide. He said, I'm going to fill it. Full of what? Christ. And say you know. And he that hath not, take it away. I've heard of that. I've heard of that. Don't need that anymore. That which he seemeth to have. Now, isn't that exactly what he just said? That some spring up, and for a while, appear to be, but things come and wither away. But the cares of the world choke it. It's going to be known. It's going to be known. Who really loves the Lord? Who really knows Christ? Who really needs Christ? And it's all going to be tried by the gospel. Don't need that. All God's people say, Christ is my life. Words of life. Okay, let's sing in closing number 163. 163.